All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Overcomers, the Lord is their inheritance. You know, many of you have come across scriptures concerning the Levites and their inheritance, such as this one from Numbers 18, verse 20, where it says, "Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel." And also in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 2, of which we're going to get into today, it states concerning the Levites, "Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance." What does this mean? What does it mean to have the Lord as your inheritance? Well, we'll get into that, but first it's important to understand that this specific law of inheritance actually passed on from the Levitical priesthood due to their failure under the Old Covenant to those who are called upon to minister and to teach God's word. More specifically, those who are called after the order of Melchizedek. And then after this present age, that right or that inheritance will be passed on to the overcomers. The overcomers will inherit God. But you know what? They're not going to just inherit this, without having to do anything. They're going to have to work for it. That's what the word overcomer means. It means to overcome, to take action, to have the victory over something. Not just a free handout. Something that must be earned. And, it's going to be fascinating to read about that when we get into this study. But the overcomers will actually be able to be in the presence of God, tending the very altar of God. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about something physical here, but in the spiritual sense, they will stoke those fires of the altar. And those things have great spiritual meanings in them as well. But, you know, again, it's not going to be given to people merely by birth, like it was the Levites. Speaking of the inheritance that the ultimate inheritance, that is to say, to inherit God. It's going to be given to the overcomers. And, you know, this is documented in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Let's turn there. Let's turn to Revelation 20, verse 4. And it reads, he says, "And I saw thrones." Now check this out, thrones, many thrones. Not just one throne, not just the throne of God, but thrones that are going to be sat upon by these people. Here it is. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them." Who did? The overcomers, my friends. You know, this whole book starts out, the book of Revelation starts out with the messages to the seven churches. And you know what each message was? Do you know what the main message was that Christ had for each of those churches? Was that they were to overcome. You know, we read about God's elect and how God chooses people and so forth. But you know what? Just because God chooses somebody doesn't mean they automatically overcome. Doesn't mean they automatically receive rewards. For there is much work to be done. We're going to have to stand up against this beast system as recorded in Revelation chapter 13, the New World Order, Antichrist's New World Order. And we're going to undergo a great deal of persecution. Hey, it's already starting, my friends. I dare say we're practically at the, well, not at the very beginning of it, but we're at the point, the tipping point, where it's going downhill now for Christianity and freedom in America and around the world. But then you read about that, about those who overcome the beast in Revelation chapter 15. Those are the overcomers, standing upon a sea of glass, singing the song of Moses. But they had to work for it. No free handouts. No titles just granted to you by birth. Although some of those are given out. But to be able to achieve the greatest reward ever, that is to say, to have God as your inheritance. What does that mean, anyways, to have God as your inheritance? Well, like I said, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into that, exactly what that means. But anyways, let me just finish this verse here. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. These were martyrs. And there have been many martyrs throughout history. They are the overcomers. They overcame all the way to the point of death. They would not bow a knee. They would not forsake Christ. They stood up and gave their all. Would you be willing to do that if called upon to do so? If not, you might be in the wrong business. The wrong religion, I should say. You might want to choose a different religion. Because Christianity is about self-sacrifice. It's about putting others before self. Not about saving your own skin like so many people want to do today. I just want to save my own skin. I just want to have this for myself. It's easy to fall into that. We must catch ourselves. When we start thinking about self and start thinking about service, about standing up for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just like a combat soldier would in war. He doesn't worry about saving himself. He worries about protecting his nation, about defeating the enemy. That's what Christians are called. When you say you're a Christian, you're enlisting in God's army. You're saying, yes, Lord, I will go and do whatever you call me to do. I will fight. And which had not worshipped the beast. This is future. This hasn't, the beast has been around all the way since the pagan empires were formed, probably back with the first head, which would be Egypt. We've got a blog on that. If you want to go into our search bar or go into our end times prophecy or category, you should find it there. It's titled the Prince of the Earth, I think it is. Or just type in deadly wound in the search bar on our website. And you should find some stuff about the successive order of that beast, that pagan world empire that has been here since that time, since Egypt, all the way up until Rome. And then it kind of stopped for a while. But it's arising again, called the New World Order. But that's what they didn't do. They didn't worship the beast. They didn't worship one worldism, world socialism. Neither his image, now that is yet future. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, and that is yet future as well. So who are these people that are sitting upon these thrones? Overcomers. Those who would not bow down to the Antichrist or his New World Order. Those who would not receive his image or worship his image or receive his mark. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Again, they weren't just handed this responsibility. They earned it. They fought for it. Are you willing to fight for it? That's why we titled this ministry Christian Overcomers, because there is no free handouts. We must strive to overcome ourselves, to overcome our own ambitions, our own lusts, other things of this world, and aim for that mark, that goal, that reward, to be in the very presence of God, tending his altar. But the rest of the dead live not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's another topic for another time. But verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Those are the overcomers. On such, the second death hath no power. Now here's what we came here for. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Priests after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of righteousness. Again, this priesthood must be earned. And the overcomers will reign with Christ 1,000 years. I don't even think we can completely understand what that means. Other than the fact that there is no greater reward. There is no other type of material blessing or anything else that could even compare to this reward. But it's a great responsibility as well. But hey, are you in this business of being a Christian just for an easy way, easy handouts? Are you in it because you want the government to give you everything? Or are you in it because you want to overcome? You want to be somebody. You want to do something. You want to accomplish something. You want to be worth something. That's what it's all about. And that's what the overcomers, again, are going to receive. That priesthood, that inheritance. So when we read about the inheritance that was given to the Levites back in Deuteronomy 18 here, we need to read that as though it's a shadow of what's to come. It's a shadow of what you're going to receive. You know, in more of a spiritual sense, theirs was kind of a physical thing. They did the physical things, like they actually offered the sacrifices on the altar and so forth. And they went through all these rituals, but each and every step they took is symbolic of some deeper meaning that applies to you. If you overcome, And you can find this reward also given to the overcomers in Ezekiel chapter 44. We might turn there. We might read about it, but you'll read about it there that while all the ministers and pastors, the so-called Christian teachers at that time that exist today, while all of them went astray in the great apostasy, in other words, most of the pastors and ministers and priests today will fall away and worship the Antichrist, and they will lead their congregations with them, as documented in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as well as Ezekiel chapter 44. But it says there were these priests called the priests or the sons of Zadok, which can be updated to the sons of righteousness, who had not gone astray when all of the other so-called preachers, pastors, and ministers went astray. And it says that they shall keep the charge of the sanctuary. They shall approach Christ himself in ministering unto him as a go-between between the people and Almighty God. Well, we might go into that, but we'll see. We'll see how we go for time. How we do for time here. Let's turn back and let's actually start in the book that we're studying here, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1, and it reads, "The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel." Again, they didn't get a land inheritance. Now, when God gave the children of Israel the promised land, he divided it up among the tribes. Each tribe had their certain allotment of land, and it passed from generation to generation as an inheritance. And that inheritance could not ever leave that tribe, for you had the year of Jubilee that came every 50 years, and if somebody had lands or something they had to mortgage, it went back to the family. It went back to the tribe. Would to God we'd do that in America today, but we don't. We don't believe in inheritance here in America. And that's a bad thing. That's another topic for another time as well. The government takes all of our inheritance today. But since they didn't have any land, they weren't to be the farmers. What were they to do, these Levites here? "They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance." In other words, they were supported by the offerings of the people. Now, let's step back a little bit here. We have two categories of people here. We had the priests, the Levites, and then you had the regular, the rest of the tribe of Levi. Two different categories. Well, you know what? I think we'll just turn back to get a better idea of this. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. And it reads, "And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. In other words, Aaron and his sons, Aaron was of the tribe of Levi, but it would be that specific line, Aaron's children, that would be the priests over the house of Israel. And what did the Levites do? Well, they had other duties to tend to. They had to tend to the tabernacle. And then when you get throughout all of the, when they finally get to the promised land, they were to do the duties of the temple, of the, all the different governmental administrations, such as being lawyers, doctors, and you name it. They were the public servants, so to speak. The Levites were, the regular Levites, but it would be the sons of Aaron that would be the priests that approached to Almighty, that approached Almighty God. Both were sustained by the people in the form of tithes and offerings. And that is God's way, because if you don't have people that can devote all of their energy towards serving God, towards studying His Word and teaching it, you're not going to have that great quality of teaching. The people aren't going to have, good teachers to teach them God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It wouldn't be there. Because you simply, a priest or a minister, a pastor today, that has to, work all these side jobs and to teach God's word, doesn't have enough time to really get in and dig in and dig out the meat for the people. It's just the way it is. It's not going to be as good. And that's why God had this separated. That's why He called upon Aaron and his sons to perform these duties so they could set their full heart and attention to serving God. And again, don't lose sight of these things. These things apply to you if you overcome these laws of the priesthood. They're just going to be transferred over and applied in probably more of a spiritual sense rather than a literal sense. And here it goes. But you might say, well, why does it say iniquity here? Well, it means that they had a great deal of responsibility, the tribe of Levi, as well as Aaron and his sons. If something went wrong, it was their responsibility. God would hold them accountable. For to whom much is given, much is expected. So if something happened wrong with Aaron and his sons weren't teaching God's word right, hey, they were going to bear their iniquity. They were going to receive a little correction from Almighty God. That's the way it goes. God expects His leaders to keep things in order, to keep discipline. Verse 2, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep the charge, and the charge of the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary, speaking of the regular Levites here, they were not to come close to the holy vessels, and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. Okay? Verse 4, and they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation. For all the service of the tabernacle and a stranger shall not come nigh thee. And if you read on here in Numbers 18, as well as I think Numbers chapter 3, which we're going to turn to in a little bit, it divided up all the different duties that the Levites had. Each God has everything in its set order and purpose. He's organized. And that's what this was all about. And He said, hey, if somebody's going to try to do somebody else's job that doesn't belong to them, they're going to be in trouble. In other words, God didn't want anybody, some false teacher getting up, proclaiming to be a teacher back here at this time. And, or else He would, actually strike them dead. He even struck a couple of Aaron's sons dead for offering strange fire upon the altar, even though they were called to be priests. Okay, well, we don't want to get too sidetracked there. Let's turn over to, let's go to Yeah, let's turn over to Numbers chapter 3. We'll go to one other place real quick here. Numbers chapter 3. And we're going to turn here because we want to know, why did God choose the Levites to be the public servants, to be the have the priesthood within them? Why would he do that? Well, let's go back to Numbers chapter 3. First, I must say that in the book of Exodus, I can't remember the verse. You'll remember the time when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and the people were committing idolatry. They were worshiping idols after God had just delivered them, and they made themselves a golden calf. And then Moses said, "Whoever's on the Lord's side, stand by me." And it was the Levites that stood on God's side next to Moses. Therefore, God chose them to have the duty of the priesthood because he liked their zeal, their zest, their desire to love and to serve him. And when you look at that, why God chose the Levites, now you can kind of better understand why God chooses the overcomers. Because they do have the zeal and they're willing to stand up. They're willing to put God's mission first rather than themselves. If that requires losing a little sleep here and there, losing a little free time like other people have. Other people that can do a little bit more fishing, a little more hunting. But the priests have a duty to do. They have work to do. I dare say they work harder than any other profession. Because their work never stops, the stress never stops, worrying about being accurate and being responsible for what they're teaching. And let's go to Numbers chapter 3, verse 12, and it reads, "And I beheld, and I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead," check this out, "instead of the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel." Openeth the matrix means to come out of the birth canal. "Therefore, the Levites shall be mine," God says. He's claiming ownership. How can he do that? How does God have the right to do that? Well, he's God, for one. But second of all, because of this verse here, "Because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be. I am the Lord." In other words, what God says here is, hey, we're in a covenant relationship. I redeemed the Israelites. I redeemed you. Therefore, I expect something from you, and my portion is the firstborn. Why? Because the people owed God everything. They owed them his freedom. They owed them their freedom, I should say. And all their livelihood belonged to God anyways, because they would be in bondage in Egypt with nothing but slavery, misery, and bondage. So what God's saying, in return for me giving you freedom, I own you. I have the right to you, and I require all of the firstborn among you, even your sons, your firstborn sons must be dedicated to me. The firstborn of your crops, of your animals. That's what I require. And when you read about this, this is all the things that go into the tithes and offerings that are to be God's. So when we don't do these things, we steal from God. We take from him what's his, because he says they are his, they're mine. So what does that mean then? So what God did there is he exchanged, instead of taking the firstborn males among the Israelites, he said, "I'm going to take the tribe of Levi instead. I'll take them as a substitute." So, and that's how he did that. That's how we get to the priesthood of the Levitical priesthood. Because before this, the firstborn of each family was supposed to be dedicated to God as a priest. They were to go into the ministry. But it doesn't work like that. And it didn't work like that back then after this happened. And it doesn't work like that at this point either, because now God does the calling. He does the choosing, and he gives people the Holy Spirit and moves them with a burning desire that they cannot control or stop. If God has placed upon you the responsibility of teaching his word, you know, you couldn't stop teaching it even if you wanted to. You just couldn't if you're called to do his work. But again, God had the right to require everything, all the firstborn of Israel, because he gave them their freedom. Now, you think about that today. You think about America today. When our forefathers wrote the Declaration of Independence and how God gave them their freedom. Well, what do they owe him in return? What do we owe him in return for our freedom? Our firstborn, our very best. That is to say, our love, our service, our dedication, our time, our resources, whatever. You know, Christianity, the central theme of it is sacrifice. We all have to sacrifice something. Hey, here back in history, it was the people. They went out and farmed their land and they sacrificed a portion of their income, their crops, their animals. And it was the priests, since they didn't have a farm, since their duty was to work in God's service, they were to sacrifice their time, their sweat, their work. And that's what it's all about. You know, God demands a give and take relationship in his covenant. We can't just keep taking things from him, expecting things from him, saying we have these rights that are automatically ours without doing anything for him. It doesn't work that way. Again, sacrifice is what it's all about. That's the message of the cross. That should burn into our mind when we picture Christ coming here, that actually God gave his only begotten Son. That should stick into our minds when we see the cross, that being a Christian requires sacrifice. And not too many people, not too many Christians today are really willing to make real sacrifices. They want to live halfway into the world, have to do this and that. And, you know, some don't want to really give their time. They're kind of like Cain. They just kind of give God the very least of what they have, and so forth. Well, you know what? I think we're moving a little long on time here. What we're going to do is we're going to break this up into two parts, and we're going to continue reading back in Deuteronomy 18 here. In our next part. But I hope you're enjoying this study, The Lord's Inheritance. I could say it this way. Let me just recap a little bit about inheritance. The Israelites inherited the land from God. God inherits the Israelites. You'll find many scriptures that say that God, where God says, Israel is mine inheritance. They are mine elect. And the Levites inherit God. But again, that transfers over to the overcomers. When we get into the millennium and the eternity, they will be the ones to inherit God himself. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means in our next study. But until then, hey, stay in God's word, study his word, And do like Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The daily manna. See that you meditate upon it. Think about it and let it stir over in your mind so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.